Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Garage Talk Live. Hey, welcome to Garage Talk Live. I'm Vinny, your host.
Breaking phenomenon.
And guess what? I was supposed to have a co-host today, and if you remember a little while back, we had author of Seek and Live Truth, Charlene Larice. Well, I asked her to co-host with me, and I'm still waiting for her, but anyway, not a problem. So, because we've been doing the show a long time anyway, and if you all saw the iRacing series race at North Wilkes, it's a Dale Jr. Paid to clean that up to have it set so they could take the, I guess they have to take pictures of it so they could put the graphics in and make it look as real as it can look. So that's what they did. Anyway, Denny Hamlin won the last race. What if they have a finishing order on that? Let me take a quick look. It's kind of weird. No. Everything up until Phoenix, no iRacing results. One tap there, but anyway, they did have a press conference with Denny Hamlin. It's kind of weird. I mean, stuff on the track looks so real, and it's just kind of strange that today's digital world, how so we grew up in the era of cartoons, the old school style. They look like cartoons. Now it's CGI and all that. You can't even tell it's not real because it looks so real. But anyway, let's hear what Denny Hamlin had to say about his win at North Wilkesboro. Now, North Wilkesboro has been closed for a long time. It used to be the home track of Junior Johnson and his teams. Now, the only thing, Junior Johnson, of course, who passed away last year, I believe, not the year before. When he got out of racing, went into legitimized moonshine, Junior Johnson's Midnight Moonshine. Good stuff. I get it all the time. Not to give it a quick plug. But anyway, here's Denny Hamlin at North Wilkes on his big win. Do you remember all of a sudden at Talladega he disappeared? Because his daughter had the TV remote and I guess turned it off on him. So it was not a good day. But anyway, we did get a win in the books. So here we go.
Hello, and thank you for joining us. We are now joined by Denny Hamlin, driver of the number 11 FedEx Toyota, and the winner of today's eNASCAR iRacing Pro Invitational Series North Wilkesboro 160 at the virtual North Wilkesboro Speedway. And Denny, thanks for joining us today. You bookend kind of this with starting off with a win at Homestead, and then today with a win at North Wilkes. A little bit about these last few weeks, what it is to bring iRacing to such a larger platform.
Yeah, it's we've had a thing over the last few years of winning very, very important races with the Daytona 500, obviously the elimination race at Phoenix last year to get in the final four, and then Daytona 500 this year, and then obviously the two virtual wins, the first one and the last one. So trying to get to the two that you probably want to win in these circumstances. So it's pretty awesome to be able to have be competitive and race for wins, whether it be in real life or virtual.
Well, thank you for joining us. We definitely appreciate your time today. And we're going to get to as many questions as we can. As a friendly reminder, in the interest of time, we ask that our media hold your questions to a maximum of two questions at a given time. And we'll now to the media for questions.
Amanda, thank you. Once again, to our callers today, that is star and one. If you would like to ask a question and be placed into the queue, that's star and one, ladies and gentlemen. We'll hear first from Jim Utter at motorsport.com.
Congrats, Denny.
Thank you.
Two questions. First, could you kind of give us an overall assessment as to how you thought the entire eNASCAR Pro Invitational Series went, how, kind of summarizing the whole six races as far as from a competition aspect?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was, for me it was fun to see the progression of the guys who, have been doing it quite a bit. And you've also got the guys that are just starting it for the first time and have zero starts before the Invitational. And so to watch them get better and better, and to watch the commitment that they all put in to get better. And listen, nobody wants to go out there and suck. And so I've witnessed personally throughout the entire week guys running hundreds and hundreds of laps at these tracks to get better. Because they want to put on a good showing. They want to be competitive. I mean, that's what drives us, the race car drivers that we are in real life, is the fire is to want to be better. And so everyone knows that everything is level. There's no one has a car advantage. No one has a setup advantage. No one has a team advantage. It's all about the driver. So we take a lot of pride in performing well when that happens.
And a second question, in regards to getting back to real racing next week at Darlington, what is your personal kind of approach as far as, no practice, no qualifying, just get in the car and go? And you guys haven't been on a track, I think, since March 8th.
Yeah, I mean, that truly don't think it'll be any different than when we – I mean, it'll be a little different in the Daytona because we have practices and things like that. But to me, it's when we go to, California, Atlanta, whatever the second race of the season is, that is always the nervous moment I have. I hadn't usually don't race anything in the off season, don't do any testing. So it's difficult to be able to trust yourself and trust your instincts that you know what you're doing to barrel it off in the turn one at the proper speed. And so the good news is now that we know that all these guys have got rigs, I guarantee all of them will be on iRacing at some point out there making laps at Darlington just to get reactive.
Thank you.
Next, we'll hear from Bob Ockris at Fox Sports.
Yeah, Denny, what concerns or questions do you feel the drivers have about getting going back, whether it is in the safety protocols or the race procedures?
I don't know about other drivers, but just the unknown, about the procedures. You can read about them all you want, and we also heard, through the teleconference we had in NASCAR about the protocol, but, making sure you're doing everything exactly the way that they want it, because obviously there will be a huge microscope on how we're doing things and making sure it's done in a safe manner. So I think for all of us, it's just the unknown of, making sure we're doing it the right way. And I think after the first week, it will be easier and people will have a better understanding. But certainly the first week, there'll be some questions, certainly, that I'm sure drivers will have.
And, we saw the UFC fighter test positive as well as the cornerman, and so that fighter won't get to participate in the UFC fights. And I'm curious, have you gotten a feeling of what to do in the days leading up to Darlington this week? And have you gotten any direction from NASCAR or JGR just as far as what you should be doing as far as social distancing and those type of things?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just following the guidelines that you see and read on TV. And so just trying to do that. And, I've obviously checked my temperature throughout this whole thing, and I've been pretty lucky as far as that's concerned. I haven't had anything. I've got two kids, and they run a temperature all the time. So it's a little nervous for me knowing that, you could get a fever or something like that. Maybe will scare you into thinking you have something that you don't. But I'm pretty certain that no matter what, we're an advantage because we're a non-contact sport, especially with the players themselves. I'm confident that we can go from our street car that we drive to the racetrack into our race car and not be within 6 feet of anyone except for the person that's on the winning net. So we're going to be able to do this, and it should be pretty effective.
Our radio and the line of Claire Lang. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thank you. Congratulations, Denny, on the win. A question on the protocol when you guys go to Darlington. You won't have PR people with you, and no disrespect to the drivers, but you guys are in the big focus. You got a lot going on. I kind of envision drivers like having sheets and sheets of paper on a clipboard. I know you remember a lot of things when it comes to racetracks and, driver's meetings and whatnot. Will that be different for you and all of you?
It will. Truth be told, we rely on the handlers quite a bit. They're the ones who tell us, okay, driver intros, it's time to go. Start meeting, it's time to, you know, time to go for this. And because we got so much going on, especially on the race deck, the difference is really we're going from our street car to our motorhome, wherever we're going to be, kind of self-contained. You don't bring your motorhome straight to the race car. And so what I envision most likely will happen, NASCAR will be, you know, they have us all on a mass deck, and they'll probably give us a text saying, drivers through your car. That's the way that they communicate anytime we have a rain delay. So I think it's going to be easier because there is nothing to sidetrack us on race day. It's literally just going to race and race only. So, we don't need all those extra people around like we normally would.
Mm-hmm. And when you pull off at Darlington on that first lap, on that very first lap, I mean, shut your eyes. What do you think that's going to be like?
I envision, at least for the first two laps, just trying to get everything, understanding, checking your travel, because there's plenty of times where these teams unload and, you know, the cars are hitting the race track and, you know, you're not ready to be in a pack quite yet. So that will certainly be different. But, you know, we do have the data from last year.
Oh, I think they lost Denny for a second.
Oh, hello? Yeah,
there you go.
I think we may have lost connection for just one moment. I'm not hearing any signal. Just one moment, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, that's what happens when everybody is tied into a switchboard. Kind of know the feeling here when we had issue calling into a central location. I had one guest.
Pardon the interruption. Mr. Hamlin, are you still connected?
Oh, wait.
I am.
We have him back.
Claire, are you still able to hear Mr. Hamlin?
I am, and he dropped off when he said we do have the data from the last 2 years, if you could pick it up there.
Yep. Yeah, we have the data from last year, so I think everyone's going to be pretty confident going into turn one that, you know, the travels are right. I'm sure the crew chiefs are going to be very conservative with their travels to make sure it's hard at the racetrack on the first run. I think that all in all, it's going to be like an old shoe. I don't think from the TV perspective, fans will see anything different than a normal race that they would normally see at Darlington.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Claire, thank you. Our next question will come from Dustin Long with NBC Sports.
Thank you. I've got a couple questions. And Denny, can you put me in the seat next week in the sense of, I know you talked about that first lap, but I'm curious about, you know, this is it'll be an ultra-green track. There's going to be no rubber laid down. The early forecast looks to be in the mid to high 80s. And obviously each week you guys are chasing tracks, and that's part of your normal process. But I'm just curious with all the things you'll be worrying about with how the car handles at the beginning and just kind of the thinking process of trying to figure out how to catch up challenges with no rubber, potentially higher temperatures, and just trying to still sort through your car and things like that early on.
I mean, it will be a challenge, but, like, I think that, you know, every driver thinks they have an advantage, right? But I like that there's so many unknowns. Like, I trust that my crew chief and my team, which are good racing, we have enough smart people that we feel like, okay, this is a place where we can get an advantage. And there's everyone thinks that. With all organizations that, hey, I trust my guys. I like the unknown. And I personally, as a driver, I get to run the Southern 500 in the day, you know, probably 12, 13 years ago. And, I mean, it was, of course, on the old surface. It was super slick. And it's going to be a challenge for us drivers with that hot racetrack. And, you know, that track is a lot different during the day versus night. So I like the challenge. I like thinking that I can get an advantage with drivers anytime that there is a change. But that's the mindset that probably 36 other guys have as well.
I also just want to ask you, look, in past times, in normal times, after a race, if you're frustrated with somebody, maybe you go talk to them after the race, discuss, or go and yell at them, or maybe they come to you to discuss something that happened or yell at them. How might that work now? I mean, I almost have in my mind sure. this driver standing 6 feet away, either having a discussion or standing 6 feet away yelling with each other. I mean, is it still going to be something like that, or does everybody go back to their motorhomes and cars and start texting back and forth?
Meet him at the exit. It's the only thing I can think of. I don't know. I actually thought about that as well. It's like, well, if there's ever a time to be aggressive and probably ruffle some feathers, this is probably the right time to do it because you don't have to face consequences right after the race. But I don't know. I think everyone's going to do the best they can. But certainly, I mean, there's going to be guys that are upset with each other that normally have a discussion afterwards. And listen, if you get fired up enough, yeah, you're gonna go up to that other car or that other driver, and we know that their all eyes will be on us, right? To make sure you don't have contact with that driver or whatever. But you'll be close enough where you can give them a piece of your mind verbally within 6 feet. That's for sure.
Thank you.
Our next question will come from Jennifer Dreyer with the Associated Press.
Hey, Danny. Questions about two of your buddies. Matt Kenseth is coming back, and we'll be getting in the car next week after not 8 races off, but 15 months off. How do you think he will do jumping into a car cold like that?
Mm-hmm. I think he's going to do well. I mean, certainly, I thought at the end of his second tenure with Roush in the 6th a couple of years ago, by the end, he certainly was lifting that program and making it better. And from my standpoint, I'm like, shoot, I don't want him back because I know he gives great information. He can give an organization information. It's another voice that organization will hear that's different than what they've had over the last few years, and not better or worse, but just different. And so, I think that he's probably going to lift that program up, similar to what he did to Roush towards the end. So, he's my buddy, but I prefer him to stay home at this point. And I mean that joking.
My second question is about Larson, who's also a buddy of yours. I know he raced last night. Do you see a road back for him to NASCAR? And do you think he even wants to come back to NASCAR?
I think he loves NASCAR. I think that, so much gets made about, his love for dirt. He's got a love for dirt. There's no question about it. I went to plenty of races with him last year on Saturdays, to some dirt races, and got to watch how passionate he is about dirt. But he also really likes cup racing. And I think that if he wants to come back, then doing all the right things as far as what I've heard, obviously he put himself in a really bad spot saying something that was totally inappropriate, but, people make mistakes, and a lot of people make mistakes, and hopefully he's back in cup racing sooner than later.
Great. Thanks, Danny.
Yep.
Next, we'll hear from Holly Kane with NASCAR Wire Service. Please go ahead, Holly.
Thank you. Congratulations, Jenny. My question is, and I asked William Byron this, is there any sort of a lift you get heading into real racing after, having done so well in the iRacing series? Do you get any sort of a boost? Are you feeling a little bit more jacked up maybe than someone that didn't have the success that you did?
I'm way more excited than I would if I wouldn't one, and, winning the last iRace, the first one, the last one, those are significant. We have we have millions of people watching, so it's good publicity for my sponsors. It's good for me and my confidence. And so, like I talked about earlier, we know and every driver knows that everything is equal. There's no advantage for anybody. It's about who can hone their craft in iRacing. And iRacing, we can always talk about, it doesn't relate, this, that, the other. And in some ways it won't, and it doesn't. But you have to make you good in iRacing, makes you good in real life. It's not like playing Madden or NBA 2K where you're using your, you know, hand-eye coordination and pressing the button. You're using your gas, the brake, the input to running the two at the same time, the steering wheel, everything is the same. And so, you know, I take pride in that, hey, everything's equal, and I've won a couple times that, you know, hey, I feel pretty good about where I'm at as a driver. So certainly I think that there's some confidence that will spill over for a few weeks.
Great. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Next, we'll take a question from the line from the Charlotte Observer with Alex Andreev.
Hey, Benny. Thank you. Some of my, I guess, questions looking ahead were kind of already asked, but I do still have two. One is about kind of what you saw as the biggest challenges or moments of surprise, I guess. You know, you had the clip with your daughter on Twitter from the school iRacing experience.
I mean, for me, I've had some very interesting things happen, for sure. I mean, to see that, you know, Taylor's shenanigans is reaching huge, you know, huge media outlets in L.A. and here, there, and everywhere, and on TMZ and stuff, like, that's good. And so, even though, you know, I'm pissed off because my day is over, like, I wouldn't have traded that moment for anything. Like, I would take that moment, keep it, versus winning Kyle Day. To me, it was just, you know, the highlights and everything that's been put together about it. So, it's just a life moment that, hey, even though, you know, we didn't win and it didn't turn out well, results-wise, it still was a life moment that was really good for both of us.
Mm-hmm. And then my second question is pivoting a little bit. It's more about, you know, NASCAR is going to announce it's going to release safety enhancements after Ryan Newman's crash. I'm curious what things, you know, if anything, you think NASCAR should be doing to make the sport safer.
Well, I mean, I think that then being able to look at data and continue to make the cars better and better every time there's a crash, it doesn't get enough credit. I know that they really kept in touch with us quite a bit over the last few months, downloading with us, here's what we saw, here's what we think, you know, things could get better. And listen, we all need to realize that Newman's crash was best, right? No long-term injuries or anything like that, some bumps and bruises here and there, but essentially, everything did its job, and that was, you know, as a driver, I can tell you, he got hit in the worst place possible. It was a freak accident that we may not see for, maybe not ever again, a car driving straight into the worst spot possible when he turned on his side. So, it still passed the test, and so even though it passed the test, they're continuing to make upgrades to the chassis to make it even better, so I feel super fortunate, and I think about it all the time, that I came in when it was really took a step forward in safety. The Hans devices were being implemented. The car tomorrow came out, a lot of different car changes and whatnot. And so, you know, the danger and the fear of fatality has gone down quite a bit when I came in the sport. So, we're still able. There is an element of danger. I mean, I broke my back in 2013 in a freak wreck, but you know, we haven't had someone, you know, really get, you know, truly have long-term injuries in these cars in a long time, and that credit's got to go to the NASCAR and their technical people for that.
Thank you.
Our next question will come from the line of Woody Kane at Motor Racing Network. Hi, Woody.
Hi, congratulations, Denny. I just wanted to ask you about today's virtual race. Tell me about the end of that thing. Inside 10 laps to go, you put a bump and run on Ross Chastain, and then he watermeloned you there after the end of the race. Tell me about all that.
Yeah, it's a short track racing. Really, it was two guys going for the same spot. He saw I had a run coming. And the thing with iRacing is the leader has such a tremendous advantage on restart. And so, I keep hearing in our head from the the iRacing officials, every time there's a spin or a wreck, and we don't know whether they're going to throw a caution or not. So inside 10 laps to go, I get to them. I'm thinking, I've got to make short work of him, like, really, really quick, because if the caution comes, I don't want to restart second. Like, the leader has such an advantage, it will take 5 laps at least to get around them, and we're going to have less. I knew I had to get around them quick, so I got a good run on him. He saw that I was going to be inside, so obviously he did his best to try to block there. And yeah, as you could see, when I got in the back of him, I immediately checked up to try to let him catch it. And luckily he did, and then I think he got turned in the next corner. I'm not sure what happened there, but it was a fun race. I had a great battle with Christopher Bell for at least 15 laps. That was a blast. And then really Ross at the end, I never thought his tires would have held up as good as it did, but it was fun. I mean, that was a really, really fun race. And really, if you talk about like a bump and run, it's kind of a textbook way of doing it where you get the guy up out of the groove, but don't wreck him.
Thank you.
Next, we'll hear from Lee Spencer at RacingBoys.com.
Thank you. Denny, just curious what your interaction has been like with Chris Gayheart over this period, and how have you guys tried to, once we get off the sidelines?
Well, it's definitely picked up in the last few weeks for sure, and I don't know whether y'all know, but he just had his baby born last week, so he's got to spend some extra time at home, which, you know, one of the good things about this is that he has spent more time at home, and with the birth of his child coming, you know, he doesn't have to hit the road, right? Like, normally, well, it's been a couple days with Mama, and then you got to go, but things kind of worked out scheduling-wise with him, where he's been able to spend some time at home and help with the health of the kid and everything. And so we had a discussion quite a bit over the last 2 days, meeting with the team, talking about protocols, making sure everyone's doing the right thing. And so, you know, we've been talking also about what we do with our personnel, because certainly there's going to be less allowed at the racetrack for these first few races. And so moving the right pieces and the right people to go on the road versus keeping others back at the shop to prepare for the next race. And so I think he's got a really good plan together for that. And so I look forward to seeing how it all works out, because I mean, that's his strong suit. He's really good with planning ahead and thinking about things that, you know, a lot of people don't think about.
Do you know what the pit box might look like given social distancing and, you know, trying to maintain that 6-foot barrier?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't even thought about it. The pit boxes, to be honest with you, a battle of broadband, to be honest with you, where you know, they're going to be communicating with people back in the shop and people at home. I don't envision the pit box being full of people like it is on a normal race day. I don't know if it's just him or he's sitting up there or not. I don't know where he's going to be. So I don't know how all that's going to play out, but I'm sure that the teams and NASCAR have discussed, you know, how they make sure everyone stays apart.
Denny, thank you for taking the time this afternoon to share the responses to everyone's questions. Amanda, in the interest of everyone's time today, I'll turn the floor back to you.
Thank you. Denny, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
And thank you to all the media for joining us as well. A transcript of this teleconference, along with the audio files, will be available later today on NASCARmedia.com. If you have any follow-up questions, please feel free to reach out to anyone on the NASCAR communications staff. We wish you well, and we look forward to seeing you again soon. Have a great day.
And there you have the press conference with Denny Hamlin. I played the whole thing because we do have a race coming up live, a real one, at Darlington. I guess it's going to be the Southern 500, and that's the only race they run. Again, they've changed the schedule again. So now they're going to start here on the 17th. And last year, they ran it on September 1st. NASCAR and their silly schedules. So let's see what we're going to have before I get into who I'm going to make my pick. Schedule, there we go. I wonder how close they're going to be. I know they're going to be running 7 races in 11 days. They're running Darlington today, this Sunday. And then they're going to bump down to Charlotte. I think they're going to run the All-Star and the 600 for Memorial Day weekend. Now they ought to put up a revised schedule here. They have the original from the beginning of the season if things would have ran the way they were supposed to run. And they're still going with that. Let me go back and check. Because they have to squeeze what they can in, and God only knows when they're going to have fans back. So we'll just have to wait and see. So, yep, everything is still the old stuff here. Come on, NASCAR. Still have the results up from the iRace at North Wilkes. Just because you stay confined or quarantined don't mean you can't. Updated. Well, here is, this is from the 30th, so it's a little bit old. I was going to play it last week, but then we had Anne Marie, and she was the first in the Sprint Cup back in the day, so we had, maybe I could work something out with her and get her and Monica back on. But, of course, last week was our last 8 p.m. show. Because things have changed and I'm back on my regular schedule. So I have to go at noon. Here is NASCAR Vice President Steve O'Donnell with Chief Racing Development Officer and Vice President of Racing Operations, John Bobo.
Hey, welcome everybody, and appreciate you making the time for today's media teleconference with NASCAR Executive Vice President and Chief Racing Development Officer, Steve O'Donnell, and NASCAR Vice President of Racing Operations, John Bobo. So we appreciate you guys making the time on this one, and we're going to get to as many questions as we can after today's announcement. To start this thing off, I'm going to open up with a question to Steve O'Donnell. Steve, can you start with an overview on the steps that have been taken in the return to racing and some of the plans from a competition perspective?
Sure, and thanks, Eric, and certainly want to echo what Eric said. I want to welcome everybody and hope that everybody's been able to remain healthy during what I think we all know is an unprecedented time. As we stated in our release, we're incredibly excited, the teams, the tracks, TV partners, and OEMs, to return to racing, but also understand the tremendous responsibility that's going to come with that return. And as you saw, our return in Darlington is going to be in an environment that we need to make sure that we're taking all measures available to us for the safety of our competitors and certainly for the local community. So as we developed the return to racing schedule, we understood, and I've seen this many times from the media, that it's going to be a fluid situation, and we're going to need to factor in many, many variables. And I think most important for us at the onset was the development of a plan that was discussed with public health officials, medical experts, state and local officials, and John Bobo, when he speaks, will run you through a lot of the details of those plans. And then it was important for us to work with all of our stakeholders, and that included the teams, the tracks, OEMs, engine builders, our suppliers, TV partners. All of those folks had to weigh in and talk about what was possible in this environment. From there, we had an internal group of Ben Kennedy, Ben Baker, and Scott Miller, who led the discussions around the schedule. I think we're on version 65 right now for the National Series, so a lot of changes have come throughout that. But a portion of that you saw today. So just quickly going over what we're planning on heading into. So the 17th, as you saw, will open up at Darlington, 400-mile race. That race will include live pit stops. It was important for us to be able to showcase a race as close to what normally takes place as possible. But it was also important for us to minimize what activity took place leading up to an event. That's why we won't have practice or qualifying prior to that event. The same thing will be in place Tuesday when we go back to Darlington for the Xfinity race. No practice or qualifying, 200-mile race. And then Wednesday we'll go back with the second cup race. It'll be 500 kilometers. Again, no practice or qualifying, but live pit stops. And for Darlington, the Southern 500 remains in place over Labor Day weekend. The dates that we've announced today will be realigned dates. We'll have more details that will be out to you shortly, but as I'm sure you can appreciate, we've got some work to do with local and state officials and tracks as well to make sure that all that messaging and things are in place in those local communities of a date that has possibly been moved to Darlington. We'll go from there to Charlotte. Key event for us, the Coke 600, that will include qualifying. So of the events we've announced, qualifying will take place for that event. And then we'll have three more nights of racing, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Monday will be the Xfinity race, 300 miles. Tuesday, the trucks, 201 miles. And then Wednesday, we'll go with the 500K. No practice or qualifying for that race, cup race Wednesday night. And similar to Darlington, that will be a race that's been moved to Charlotte, but it will be on the oval. So, you know, just getting a little bit into the weeds, I think you can anticipate for that first race in Darlington a competition caution of some kind for the May 17th event. Obviously, we're still working through what that may look like. We want to allow for some adjustments for the teams, so a lot of dialogue still going on with the industry of how we put that together. And then I'm also confident that when we go back on Wednesday night on the 20th, you may see some things a little bit different just based on what we learned with our opening event. So our intent remains to run the same number of events that we announced at the beginning of the season, and that's for all three national series. And our goal was also, as we put this together, to keep as many races as possible intact towards the middle of the back half of the season. So that's why you're seeing some of the events take place as early as we can and as close in proximity to each race as we can. So with that, I'm going to turn it on over to John Bobo, and he'll walk you through a lot of the hows of how we got here and what we're going to have in place for the event.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. So early on in March, we realized we needed to be smarter about the coronavirus and engage with an infectious disease physician and epidemiologist, and then also work with a number of other consulting physicians in emergency medicine who are actively treating COVID patients right now in development of this plan. And then and also as we developed the plan, we were in discussion with public health officials, and we continue to be in conversation with public health officials in South Carolina and North Carolina. And we realize that as we are guests in each community, that as we prepare for these events, we're going to keep a close eye on the trends as they develop and know that our events can be contingent on the trends and events that are pandemic-related. Events are going to look different than they have in the past. The way we travel to the event, the way we enter the event, the way we move about an event, and the way we leave an event is going to be different. And we're asking teams and all of our other participants, organizations, self-monitor people for 5 days for symptoms before they arrive. We're asking them to fill out a questionnaire and go through initial screening for temperature. If concerned after that, they go into a secondary screening with medical personnel. And which will include heart rate and pulse oxygenation, and medical personnel will make any decisions at that point. We'll also then go through an additional screening for essential personnel. We've been working with the teams and our roster system to make sure that the event is very limited into who can attend. And we're making sure that if there's any operations that we can move off-site, that's exactly what we're trying to do to limit the event. And then everyone that is going into the infield is going to be wearing a cloth mask as they move about, and since there will be no spectators and no fans in the infield, we'll be able to use the entire infield to space out and socially distance. We'll be able to space out the car garages, and not just the Cup garage, but the Xfinity and Gander Outdoor garage as well. We will have driver's motor coaches there, but they will not be in a driver-owner lot. We're spreading those motor coaches out to provide a place for drivers to self-isolate during the day. Our two big themes are social distancing, and the other is compartmentalization. So with social distancing, we're going to have one-way walkways for people. We're going to have our rules strictly enforced. If people aren't complying with our rules for masks and social distancing, they will be removed from the premises. On compartmentalization, for example, if we have someone in the broadcast lot and they have no business in the garage, they don't need to come into the garage, and vice versa. We need to keep people out of work areas that they might normally get into. On pit road, we are mandating that all our over-the-wall competitors have the fireproof sock mask that will go from their nose down below their chin, or they have to use the face screen that goes from above their eyes to below their chin. We are going to space out our spotters. Our spotters aren't necessarily going to be on the roof, but we're going to be across the top of the empty stadium, so they all have 6 to 10 feet between them, and they can play the important role that they play in the competition. Temperatures will be taken randomly throughout the event of people as needed. Symptomatic patients will be processed and removed from the event and given medical attention if needed. We'll be doing that outside the infield care center to protect the integrity of the infield care center for emergency operations during the race. Post-race, we're going to stagger people's exits. We'll be looking at temperature and other factors again as they leave. We're also requiring all the teams to disinfect as needed, and we'll even seal haulers and things like that to make sure as they go to the next event that they are safe. We've set up lines of communication for every participant to be able to reach out to us immediately after the event on lessons learned so we can get better and smarter each successive race as we go forward. So those are kind of the some of the things. I do want to go ahead and talk about testing because I think it may be a question that, on COVID-19 testing, those tests remain in short supply. Getting results can take 2 to 3 days. And really those tests should be targeted for people that are most in need. On the antibody testing, we believe that is still being developed, and our experts are still unsure about what it means. There are 4 coronavirus strains, not the novel coronavirus, but the 4 others, and immunity may be 3 weeks to 6 months. So our experts are not able really to tell us what that immunity may mean or not mean. We remain curious about it, and we're going to maintain vigilance on that and watch the tests improve. We're really interested in antigen testing, and we see that may be something that we can implement within our program at some point. But again, we're waiting on further development and FDA approval. Contact tracing, we are asking teams and participants to keep a log of who they've interacted with throughout the course of the day. So if we do have a positive post-race, we can figure out who they were in direct exposure to and ask those people to self-isolate for 14 days. We do plan to move to contact tracing software when that is further developed in a more reliable platform that can work state-to-state as we use it. We have a lot of confidence in our plan. We know that we have to really all work together as an industry to keep our own folks safe, to keep each community safe. But it is the discipline and the safety culture of NASCAR. We're the organization that puts cars on the track 4 days a week at 200 miles an hour. We think it's that same discipline and eye towards safety that everybody in our industry has that is going to help us execute on this.
Thanks, John. Appreciate that. And now I'm going to hand it back to the operator to open the line for media questions here.
And to our audience joining today over the phones, if you'd like to ask a live question at this time, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. Pressing star and 1 will place your line into the queue. And a friendly reminder that if you're joining us today on a speakerphone, please return to your handset prior to pressing star and 1 to be certain that your signal does reach our equipment. Again, ladies and gentlemen, that is star and 1 if you'd like to ask a question. And we'll take just a few seconds to give everyone a chance to we'll hear first from Bob Pockrus with Fox Sports.
Yes, what will be the procedure if a driver or a crew member ends up testing positive in the days following a race?
Yeah, that's a great question, Bob. I think what we would do in that instance is look at every person that driver interacted with directly. Those folks would probably have to self-isolate, and then we would obviously make sure that the driver is going to get the care he needs. One thing I forgot to mention is we will be following up with each participant. We've asked each organization to do that as well for 14 days for symptoms of anybody that's attended the event after that. You know, and I have to say, you know, all of our plans have been reviewed by the local health officials, including in South Carolina, and the local health care provider there as well as in North Carolina.
And what will be the parameters you need to see in order to have races with fans?
I think that's still a work in progress, Bob. And, you know, our priority right now was to try and get back racing in a safe way. I think certainly, you know, the NASCAR fan is passionate and we want to conduct events with fans any chance we can get. But until we believe that it's a safe environment and we can work with the local and state communities to make that happen, we're going to wait until we get that okay.
And once again, to our phone participants today, that is star and one. If you would like to ask a live question over the phone line, can we ask that you limit yourself to a question and a single follow-up, just in the interest of time and to give everyone a chance to ask their question. Next, we'll hear from SiriusXM Radio. Claire, your line is open.
Thank you. Steve, all eyes will be on NASCAR as one of the first sports to return, which puts NASCAR in the spotlight to get it right. How much does that mean, and is it a factor in deciding to be the first to return?
Well, I think it's a big factor in terms of getting it right. You know, we realize up front that it's a huge responsibility for us as a sport, but I'm also confident in the group we've gathered to put this plan together, and our entire industry has come together to believe in the plan we've put together. We're certainly going to learn as we go. But the process that we put in place, I think, gives the industry the confidence that we can be first, and then we can do this in Darlington.
And, Steve, as you announce other races and look at other races, are you looking at staying close to home, places we can drive without hotel rooms for the rest of the schedule that you're eyeballing right now initially?
It's a good question, Claire. So kind of two parts. So I would say outside of the first four Cup events, and I'll just speak to Cup right now, the goal for us is the next, I'd say, three events we would like to be within drivable conditions as well. Once you get beyond that, we do have states that have said, hey, we're good to go, and we're good to go racing. But our goal was to get, you know, at least seven or so events under our belt, drivable, learn where we go, and not have to put people on planes if we could avoid that. So, you know, once we get beyond those, I think you'll see us move in. So it'll be, you know, keep using the word fluid, but that's where you get, once we get beyond those kind of seven events, we feel like we'll be ready to, you know, continue to look at races where we may be able to travel.
Thank you for your question, Claire. Next, we'll hear from Jeff Gluck with The Athletic.
Hi, guys. Obviously, with some tracks getting additional races, that means that other tracks will lose some. Where are you at in the process of determining which tracks will lose dates, and what can you tell us about how far along that decision is?
Yeah, Jeff, what I would say is those decisions have been made, but we're not ready to announce those, and that's not to hide the ball. That is to make sure that we can have proper communication, not only with those tracks and the personnel, which I'm sure you can appreciate, but we've got a lot of fans in those areas. So for the couple tracks where we need to move an event, we want to do that in the right way. We will certainly disclose that to the media, the race teams, and the fans. They'll know ahead of time before we get to Darlington, but we just want to take a little time here before we're able to announce that.
So that's something that you expect to announce in the next week or so, or couple weeks?
I'd say in the coming weeks is fair, Jeff. So we've assured the industry that prior to Darlington, they're going to know. There's obviously sponsor implications of events that they may have sold, and we've got to disclose those and purse implications. So we'll do that in the right way, but we just want to make sure we do it in the right way for the local fan base for those particular events.
Great, thank you. Next, we'll hear from Dustin Long with NBC Sports.
Yeah, a couple things. Steve, can you talk about
Are you there?
Yeah, Dustin,
can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you.
Yeah, thank you. Steve, a couple things. How many team members will be allowed in the garage area or for each team at Darlington?
So total roster will be 16. That includes driver, owners, crew members, pit crew members.
I know you guys talked about self-monitoring when the crew members are at the track, the turn, and in between events. Will they be allowed to go and work in the race team shop, or will they be either mandated or encouraged not to do so, so to decrease the chance of infection if they're returning to a race in a future race event?
Yeah, John, you want to take that?
Yeah, that's a great question. And we've recommended to the team that the people that are at the events not come back into the race shop.
Similar with driver stuff.
Thank you.
And there you have it. NASCAR executives talking about what's going to happen this weekend and down the road a little piece. Well, I guess that's all I have for today. So we'll see you all next week. I'm Benny. Good day. And actually, I could say good racing. Now, for Darlington, who was I going to pick? Let me find out real quick. Ooh, Eric Jones won this one. Kyle Larson was second. Kyle Busch was third. Well, we know who's not going to be in the race. That's Kyle Larson. So you could scratch him out. Who led the most laps? Kyle Busch. So it looks like a Gibbs. Run up at the top there, and you had Harvick and Keselowski, fourth and fifth, and Boyer. So then you had three Fords. So you had two Toyotas, a Chevy, then top three, and then you had Ford, two tops, three Fords, and then you had Kurt Busch in the number one. So, Matt DiBenedetto, good run for him in the 95. He's got a good ride this year, so it'll be something if he wins. Anyway, tough to say. I think who can do good if they're sitting a long period of time, I'm going to go with Kyle Busch to win this week. So we'll see you all next week. I'm Benny. Good day and good racing. Bye now.